Good morning. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Thanks. I actually don't think we have any announcements.
I've got one.
Where are you?
Right here in front of you.
Okay.
Good morning. It was me. I'm even breaking my own rule. Good morning, everyone. We are so glad you are here. And I really hope next Sunday you will also be with us as we have a wonderful opportunity. Rick Ufford Chase, former moderator of the Presbyterian Church USA, will be with us in worship, sharing the message, and also will be providing some sermon talk back after worship. Rick is co-director with his wife, Kitty, at Stony Point Center. So hope you will be with us tomorrow for that exciting opportunity. All right.
And I'd like to remind the junior highs that this is the day that's the deadline for signing up for the junior high retreat. We welcome everybody, and we encourage you to sign the hospitality register if you are visiting with us especially, so we can more formally welcome you, and we invite you to coffee after worship this morning. Now I'd like to present Barb Chapman, who will present the Mustard Seed Award for us. Barb?
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 13, thank you, verses 31 and 32. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. A tiny seed of genuine faith, faith in God, takes root and grows to produce great things. Frank Roberts, a faithful GPC member, youth group advisor, and generous donor, began the Mustard Seed Scholarship Program in 1997 with his generous gift of $10,000, revealing his utmost hope and faith in our church's youth. Along with numerous generous donations from Mike Wynn, along with many memorial gifts received to date, this fund continues to benefit further education assistance to a high school senior each year. At this point in time, the Mustard Seed Scholarship Fund has a net worth of $105,000. Please continue to remember this fund through your generous gifts, be it a one-time gift, an annual gift, an honorarium, or a memorial contribution. 2014 marks the 14th year that this award has been presented. The award currently provides a scholarship in the amount of $1,500 each academic year for a total of $6,000 over the course of a student's ongoing educational program. Before sharing the name of this year's awardee, on behalf of all of the congregation, I would like to thank the members of our committee, Carol Balsley, Ginny Barley, Kay Harder, Sherry McFarlane, Polly Moore, Mary Waugh, and Mike Wynn. As a committee, we do not meet on a continual basis throughout the year, but selection of the awardee each spring is not taken lightly and is indeed most difficult. Our youth are outstanding individuals and need to be commended for their faithful commitment and service to GPC and to the community at large. A grateful thanks to Carol Ann, who for many years has led the youth program with her creativity, enthusiasm, example, all to instill in our youth lifelong values. Thank you, Carol Ann. This year's Mustard Seed Scholarship recipient is David Keeling. David, would you join us, please? I have such chills. David is a senior at Spencerport High School who has actively participated in youth group, Sunday school, work projects, church dinners, church mouse bazaar, taught children's Sunday school, and worked in the toddler room. I learned during this process that the toddlers enjoy using him as a climbing mountain. He has further served as a youth trustee and as a lay reader. This past February, we as a congregation had the opportunity to hear of his faith and thoughts when he preached a sermon during morning worship. This fall, David will attend Monroe Community College as he begins his college journey. His hope at this time is to serve God as a minister. David, your strong faith, like the mustard seed, has grown to be an important part of your life. May you continue your faith journey, and may your life continue to impact those around you as it already has at church, at school, and in the community. In addition to the monetary assistance, we would also like to present you with a scholarship certificate. This Bible to commemorate today's celebration and your faith journey, as well as a mustard seed coin. Congratulations, David. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of our youth, as well as for their commitment to the church and community. Today, we especially give thanks for this young man before us. We ask that you continue to bless him with your love and with the gifts he has discovered through you. May your presence guide him during his college years and for the rest of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. We gather together to worship and praise the Good Shepherd who calls, who cares so well for us.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we have all we are ever likely to be.
We gather together to worship and praise the Good Shepherd who safely leads us and gives us strength for the journey. The Lord is our shepherd, whose unfailing love is always there waiting for us.
Let us say in unison the prayer of confession. Shepherd God, you encourage us with your love, bringing new life out of death. We confess that we need your life-giving power in our lives and in our relationships. For sometimes we live in ways that do not lead us to green pastures or to still waters. Forgive us, O God. Pour your spirit of healing upon us, that by our lives and our loving, we may gratify you through Jesus Christ, the risen one. Hear us, God, as we silently pray. Amen. Please say responsibly the words of assurance. God forgives us and gives us the grace to move forward in our lives. Thanks be to God, whose faithfulness is great.
Liberty and freedom and the courage. I'm so glad you guys sing about love. Can we come over this way? And we are going to not only sing about love, but see the way that God loves us through baptism. So why don't you all come this way? And all of the children, or if you just want a better seat, you're welcome to come forward as well. Why don't we sit right here? I think that's close enough. Can you guys see? There we go. Excellent. Excellent.
Good. We see it come.
Alyssa and I invite Jack McGavern Adams to come forward. And we ask him to bring with him his mom, Amanda, and his dad, Kyle, and his grandmother, Patty. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age.
Obeying the words of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us with God's Spirit to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Jesus Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. So this morning, let us all remember with joy our own baptisms as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of Session of Gates Presbyterian, I present Jack McGavern Adams. I knew I'd get this. Son of Amanda and Kyle Adams, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Don't make me cry.
Try not to look up.
You know, I'd like to invite Bailey to come forward, too. Doesn't have to. Kyle and Amanda, in presenting Jack for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ. You are also showing that you want your child to study, to know, to love, and to serve him as his chosen disciple. Please show your purposes by answering these questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
And do you trust in him?
Do you intend for Jack to be his disciple, to obey his word, and show his love?
Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to nurture the spiritual growth of those who are baptized. Do you, the people of Gates Presbyterian Church, promise to tell this new disciple, Jack, the good news of the gospel, to help him know all that Christ commands, and to strengthen his family ties with the household of God? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Excellent. Good job. Let us pray. God, our parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament, and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. O God, who calls us from death to life, we give ourselves to you, and with the church through all ages, we thank you for your saving love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What is your child's name?
Jack.
Jack. Oops.
Jack McGavern, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jack, you are now sealed with God's Spirit. Indeed, what joy it is to be called a child of God.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, giver of life, you have called us by name and pledged your faithful love to each of us. We pray for your child, Jack. Watch over him, guide him as he grows in faith, and give him understanding and a sincere concern for his neighbors. Help him to be your disciple. We also pray for Jack's parents, Amanda and Kyle, and big sister Bailey. Help them to know you, to love with your love, to teach your truth and tell the story of Jesus to their child. Remind us all of the promises given in our own baptisms. Renew our trust in you and give us strength that we may be faithful to you and serve you with joy. Amen. And as Carol Ann welcomes Jack, you guys did such a great job participating. Can we try one more thing? Can we say, Jack, God loves you? Can you guys do it with me? Ready? We're going to say, Jack, God loves you. One, two, three. Jack, God loves you. Good job, guys. Thank you.
Hi, Bailey and I are going to introduce you to Jack. As you say, I was there when to hear your born bride, which is page 488 in the purple
this time, the children, You are welcome to find your way to your Sunday school class.
Thank you.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. When I was about 5 years old, my mother enrolled me in a ballet class. I went to one class. It was so humiliating to me that I refused to go back. For even though I was young, I realized that I just could not make my feet do the crazy things my teacher wanted me to make them do. Yes, I was, still am, dreadfully uncoordinated. But that's probably not new news to you. No doubt, most of you have observed me tripping over my own 2 feet sometimes during the last years. Do you remember when I dropped the helium tank on my toe? And do you remember when I backed into my daughter's car in the parking lot? Which really wouldn't have been so bad, except there were only 2 cars in the parking lot, mine and hers. Oh, it is a small parking lot. Well, some may say I'm a klutz, maybe even a little flaky. But I have another explanation. I just live life deep in thought. So deep that I forget where I am and what I'm doing. Well, at no time is that more apparent than when I arrive at work each morning. I get out of my car with my laptop on one shoulder, my purse on the other shoulder, and at least one tote bag somewhere in the mix. And of course, I always have a cup of coffee. I fumble with my keys, that is after I find them. I grab my cell phone, that is after I find it. And in the mix, I always drop something. Yes? Deep in thought? Oh no, not about the meaning of life, but about the who's, what's, and where's of the day. However, to be honest, this focus on my own agenda has cost me the joy of one of the greatest gifts that this building has to offer. For through the years, I have pretty much ignored the 2 beautiful stained glass windows in the entry hall. Oh, I knew they were there, But I came and I went so much that they sort of became invisible. These windows have greeted people for decades and decades and decades. But I have been too preoccupied with my own stuff to pay much attention to them. The windows came from the old church on Buffalo Road. Carol Bosley tells me that the one of Jesus holding the lamb was one of two windows in the very front of the old sanctuary. And years ago, Bob Burnett had these beautiful works of art restored in memory of his wife, Elsie. I recall talking to the artist who did the restoration, and she spoke so highly of their quality. And yet, I continued to brush by them without much more than a glance each and every morning. And I missed their visual declaration. I am the good shepherd. I will lead you to still waters. I will refresh your soul. The window is beautiful. Jesus is barefooted and dressed in a simple magenta robe. He is tenderly holding a lamb in one arm, and in the other he has a rod. Well, I started working on this sermon last week. The Lord is my shepherd. So, of course, I started thinking about sheepy kinds of things. And remembered the window. So I decided to stop each morning long enough to internalize. To stop as I passed the window. His rod and his staff comfort me. No matter what the day brings, he will lead me to green pastures and refresh my soul. It was a great way to start the day, and I wish I'd been more intentional about that years ago. And actually, I wonder if Psalm 23 itself also suffers from familiarity. Has it become invisible to us in the same way that that window had become to me? Invisible because of its familiarity. For through the years, Psalm 23 has been the inspiration for many singers, from Mahalia Jackson to, yes, the Grateful Dead. We've heard it quoted in movies from Titanic to War Horse, as well as on TV shows from Gunsmoke, remember that, to more recently Lost. We can find it on posters, coffee cups, bookmarks, and most everything else. And we can each remember the comfort it brought to us in memorial services of loved ones. But have we overlooked the power of the reassurances it offers for the daily challenges of life? Indeed, I think the writer of the 23rd Psalm has helped us with some of the hardest theological questions around. Why did this happen to me? Is God mad at me? Did I do something wrong? Did I do something wrong to deserve this? The ancient writer writes, even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are with me. He doesn't write, even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, because evil only happens to people who deserve it. And he doesn't write, even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for for you will remove the valley of darkness. No, I hear him saying, this is a scary world. It often feels out of control, unpredictable, and downright unfair. But we can go forward because we know that God is on our side, not on the side of the bad stuff, but on our side, and God will restore our broken soul. No doubt, the psalmist wanted to make sense out of things that just don't make sense. Isn't that what we want as well? For the ancient Hebrews lived in a world where horrific acts of incivility filled their lives, where doubt and despair filled their minds. Unfortunately, we know a world of incivility as well, a world where young girls are captured and sold into the sex trade, where borders of countries are ignored, where racial prejudice keeps raising its ugly head, and where we struggle with our own personal life challenges. The question haunts us, where is God? Rabbi Harold Kushner attempted to answer this question in his excellent book, which I recommend if you haven't read it, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He echoes the psalmist stating, when we use up all of our strength, all of our love, and all of our faith, whether in a time of crisis or just on a bad day at work, there really is a God, and he replenishes our love and our strength and our faith. In other words, God is here. God is here, and his rod and his staff comforts us. God is here. This morning, we celebrated Jack Adams' baptism. We welcomed him into the household of God. It's easy for me to imagine Jack running through the building, out the door, in the door, 6 years from now. Running right past those stained glass windows. Because I remember his mother, Amanda, doing the same thing. And my guess is that Jack's grandmother, Patty, did her fair share of wiggling in the pews as a child in front of the Good Shepherd. Yes, for generations, Gates Presbyterian Church has experienced the restoration miracle of the Divine Shepherd, both as a community of faith and as individuals. May the stained glass window in the entry hall be a continual reminder of the blessing of God's presence, for surely God is here. Amen.
Thank you.
second reading this morning is from John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep and that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father.
And at this time, you all are invited to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern. Make sure you raise your hands high so the usher can see. And also a reminder to place the microphone as close to your mouth as possible so we can hear you and lift the prayer together in community. Yes.
Good morning. My name is Jim Madaw. I ask your prayers for my wife, Dottie. She's been the last 5 months in hard-to-describe situations, and she needs your prayers this morning, so we appreciate it. Thank you.
Prayers for Dottie this morning.
Hannah Walker, my son and daughter are leaving Monday on the plane to go to Florida to take care of my mother's trailer and my sister's stuff and that down there. I want prayers to get there all right and things get taken care of.
Prayers Thank for you. Safe journey for your son and daughter, Hannah, and the entire Walker family.
Linda Sidori, I have a family member who is suffering with mental illness and is again in the hospital, so I ask for prayers for her. And I want to thank Carol Ann for a wonderful sermon. It was
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you.
Prayers for Linda for a family member who's struggling with mental illness.
Hi, I'm Keith Morgan. And I wanted to ask for prayers for a good friend of ours, Christine Nielsen, who moved into town a year ago. And we went to school in Minnesota, I won't say how many years ago. But Chris has been a member of she's a member of the Unitarian clergy. And she's been an onychology charge nurse, which is interesting because she's just been diagnosed with leukemia. And we are praying for her life, and I ask for prayers for the same.
Prayers for a very close friend struggling with leukemia.
Maya Charcola, prayers of joy for my dad because he's winning Practitioner of the Year award on Wednesday.
Ah. Prayers of joy for Dan Charcola.
Roy Smith, happy Mother's Day, and thrilled to have my sister Martha here today. Julie and I would like to thank you, especially for the kindness that everyone here has shown to James, and we're thrilled to say that we're expecting a second child in November.
Yay! So just in case you didn't catch that, Roy and Julie are expecting baby. Number two, November? November. Great time. Congratulations.
Irene Ward, I would like prayers from my family in Scotland. My cousin did pass away from cancer, and I'd like prayers for his wife and son, and especially for my aunt. It's his Mother's Day.
Amen.
I usually make Tom do this.
Prayers for Irene and all of her family in Scotland as they struggle with loss, especially on this day.
Prayers of joy for Nathan Stang, our organist, who will receive his master's degree from the Eastman School of Music next Sunday. We all owe a debt of gratitude for for how he provides beautiful worship music for all of us. And we wish him well on graduation.
Absolutely.
Prayers of joy.
I also ask that you hold in prayer the family of Marion Kegel, who died this week, and her memorial service will be here May 18th. That's a Sunday at 3 p.m. Also, prayers for the family of Sue Cordellini. Sue is our head preschool teacher here at RAP, and her brother-in-law died unexpectedly this week. And also, prayers of joy and concern from our children. Prayers for a broken bone of a friend. And also prayers of joy for a birthday and a band competition. And from our children, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Amen. Together in prayer. Holy One, we gather in your presence to give you thanks and to celebrate the gift of your love. A love that supports, nurtures, shepherds, guides, and challenges us in the ways that strengthen and transform us to work for peace and justice for all your children. We offer praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in all of our lives, by the still waters and in the shadows. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we give thanks for mothers all over this world. We give thanks for all who have nurtured and cared for us, remembering especially birth mothers, adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, aunts and grandmothers, teachers, neighbors, and all the women who have shared their faith with us. We also pray, compassionate God, for those mothers who have been hurt, disillusioned, or disappointed in their role as mother. We pray for those who have been denied a longed chance for at motherhood, and for those whose years of mothering who have been cut short by the loss of a child. God, we hold in prayer around the world those mothers who are especially grieving at this time, the women who lost their children in Korea, in Nigeria, in war-torn countries all over the world. God, we lift before you all the members of our human family around us, all around the world, for those who are afflicted and suffering hurt, for those who require bread and shelter, for those who are grieving and those whose needs are known to you alone. Holy Mother and Father, to us all, touch us with your healing peace and gentle embrace, that we may walk in your ways, bringing dignity, justice, and peace to all corners of the world. All this we pray in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, let us celebrate with the morning offering by offering back to God a portion of the abundance in which we have been blessed. Let us celebrate together.
We give with faithful hearts, our O God of love, for you have been with us through all of life's circumstances. Your strength and comfort have guided and sustained us. Now may our gifts of thanksgiving be used in your service of your ministry. Amen.
Of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.